Do you appreciate what you just heard? You know, we're here with a purpose. Our Heavenly Father put us here with a purpose. And John made a good point on that there in closing out his material. And certainly it does take courage to be a stranger. And it also takes courage to meekly follow the Lord. And that's what we're going to be talking about here at this point. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus shook up the world of mankind when he brought his teachings to man, and especially these Beatitudes that he gave man in Matthew chapter 5. And verse 5, we'll notice that one. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And if we're going to be following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord expects us to have meekness in our lives as we follow our Lord. Matthew chapter 11. And by the way, you'll notice he said they would inherit the earth because in this old world that we live in, if you're a meek person, it's not going to appear that you're going to inherit anything. It's going to appear that everybody's going to stomp all over you, and they'll take everything from you because of your meekness. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, I want to make sure you understand something this morning in this class. Meekness is not weakness. There's no way it is. And you'll see that in the definition of this word, which I've kind of developed this material off of the definition of the word meekness as we find it in the Scriptures. But I want you to go on over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and this time we'll go to verse 29. Jesus is talking and he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." That's a big order, isn't it? That's our Lord Jesus talking. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle," or "I am meek and humble," or "lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So learn from me, Jesus says. I am meek and I am lowly in heart. When we stop and realize the Lord expects us to follow him with meekness in our heart all the rest of our life, we're to have a lowly spirit about us, a lowly heart about us. We're not to be living like this old godless world lives, where they're zeroed in on, "Hey, look at me, I'm number one." There's no "look at me" left when you're following the Lord Jesus. It's Jesus that needs to be looked at. Man needs to surrender his heart and his soul and his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, "You need to get my yoke upon you. You need to learn of me. I am meek. I am lowly in heart." In fact, I'll ask this question this morning. What is the opposite of meek and lowly of heart? Proud, arrogant, conceited. In fact, it wasn't that long ago. I just thought of this morning. Our president admired a person. It was on the news. It was a guy that had played a little bit of NBA basketball. I can't even remember his name now. But the guy had come out of the closet, and he had admitted he was a homo. And our president admired this man for his courage. Now, that took a lot of courage, didn't it? To admit that you're a homo, when we've got a world out there, a media out there that's just flashing in broad neon signs how great it is to have this choice of life if you want to take it. That didn't take any courage whatsoever. But it does take courage to live a life opposite of those that are proud, to live a life opposite of those that are conceited, to live a life opposite of those who are confident in themselves. I mean, we are to turn our heart and life over to our God and let our God make us and let our God use us and let our God exalt us if He wants to. That's not our business anymore when we become a born-again Christian. We're a follower of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just have to say this morning. The church would be in a lot greater shape if all of us were dead to self. And we weren't living for me, 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 me. Look at me, look at me, look what I can do, look what I can do. No, it's I'm living for the Lord. Look at your Lord. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. See what He can do for you. Another question I've got here this morning, why did God put us here on this earth? I mean, this is something we better be figuring out because we're going to meet Him one of these days. Why did He put me here? To serve Him. Is that right? I think I'm hearing it right. Serve Him and glorify Him, right? Okay, do you all mean that? Do you really believe that? I am here for the sole purpose of serving my Lord and bringing glory to my God. My God is so magnificent. My Lord is so merciful and loving. He's reached down in my life and He's washed away my sins through the blood of His Son. And I have all the rest of my life to let the world and let you and let others know how wonderful my Lord is. Not how wonderful I am. I am to meekly follow the Lord, and that does take courage to follow the Lord and to keep yourself dead. In fact, it'd probably be good to go to Romans chapter 12 next. Romans chapter 12, beginning there in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You offer your body, I'm to offer my body as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? I'm dead, but I'm alive for the Lord, right? That's what that's telling me. And I really like Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And there we'll go to verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I no longer live. The Lord lives in me. And I want to know more about the Lord, and I want the Lord to live in me more as I continue to live. But I want to stay dead. But that's not too easy, is it? To keep me out of the picture. And I mean, sometimes you just have to go to God and ask the Lord to forgive you for entertaining thoughts of what are people thinking about me? That's not where this is to be anymore. I am to be helping people be encouraged to live in the Lord, or to be able to find the Lord and get a hold of the Lord. My life is to bring glory to my God for the rest of my life. So I must be and stay dead. In vines, There's three parts of this definition that I really like. Here's one of them. This is coming right out of Vines. It says, meekness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It's that equality of spirit, or that equal level spirit that is neither elated nor cast down, simply because it is not occupied with self at all. That's part of the definition. So, me asserting myself, me trying to take care of my interest for me. No, that's not meekness. Meekness is not involved with me. I am following the Lord. And so, scripture I really, I'm amazed at is found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We stop and think about this, it's just amazing. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Our Lord, when he came to the earth, was able to empty himself of being God, to allow himself to live within the confines of the human body as a man, subject to all that we are subject to. That's amazing, isn't it? And our Lord did that for himself. Did he have himself in mind here? Who did he have in mind? He had in mind all of mankind, you and me. And so, if you stayed in that particular chapter for a minute and backed up just a second there, to verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Do how much? Nothing. I am to follow my Lord. And in following the Lord, I am to make sure I stay out of the picture. This is important because the other two parts of this word, the meaning of this word, it'll even help you to see the importance of it. But just keep the Lord in mind and realize our Lord Jesus, when he came to the earth, he lived totally for you and me. And he on purpose followed the will of the Heavenly Father for him all the way through his life to the point where he laid it down and died on the cross for us, and even to resurrect from the grave. Now, another part of this definition of this word is this, coming from Vines again. It's that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. We accept God's dealings with us as good, and we're not going to dispute. We're not going to complain. We're not going to resist the dealings of God with us. All right? We're going to use a couple other people in the scriptures. Let's go back in our Bibles to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers 12. In verse 1, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they ask? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very, and the NIV says, a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the earth, but the word there is a very meek man. And he was the meekest man on earth at this time. And so I'm sure that's the reason why Miriam and Aaron was having problems. Because it's pretty easy when somebody is trying to follow God and have given their life to God and they've taken themselves out of the picture. They're not promoting themselves or interested in themselves any longer. And so they're trying to follow the Lord and do what the Lord wants them to do. It's very easy for other people to take advantage of that and to stand on top of you. All right? And I hope you can see that this is why it's important to keep yourself out of this. Because when people use you, it's easy for me to resurrect and to get upset. All right? Good old Moses. He had chosen to follow the Lord way back when he was in the Pharaoh's palace, hadn't he? He had chosen to follow the Lord, apparently being taught that he was one of God's people by his mom. And according to Acts chapter 7, he made a decision when he killed that slave driver, that Egyptian slave driver, back when he was 40 years old. He made a decision thinking that God's people would understand what was going on. They didn't understand what was going on. He made the decision actually acting upon his own thinking and his own desires here. He made the decision, and so he ended up and had to flee out of Egypt. In fact, the decision would cost him how many more years of his life? 40 more years of his life would be spent herding sheep. And then God would appear to him. And God would tell Moses, Moses, you're going to go down there and lead my people out of Egypt. And what'd Moses say? No. He had quite a few excuses why, didn't he? And even when God was showing his great power to Moses, Moses still said, well, wait a minute. God said, finally, he says, okay, your brother can go down there and be your spokesman, but you're going. And Moses went. And Moses meekly followed his God the rest of his life. I mean, you can think about it for a minute. It wouldn't have been easy to be in Moses' shoes and have to go face that old Pharaoh again and again and again, wanting him to let the Israelite people go, and him putting up all the resistance that he put up. But finally they got to go, and they got on their way, and they ended up there at the Red Sea. And next thing you know, the Egyptians were behind them and closing in on them to retake them. And the people kind of got upset at somebody right there, didn't they? Who'd they get upset at? Moses. But Moses told him to be quiet, and he went ahead and did what God told him to do, and God opened up the Red Sea, and they went across the Red Sea. The Egyptians were drowned, and now everything was going to be great for Moses and the Israelites from there on out, wasn't it? It was going to be great from the standpoint God was going to keep helping them, but the people weren't interested in following God too much. They were interested more in complaining and bellyaching against God, and that would have been a hard thing for Moses to have to take. He took it for the most part, but if you'll go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31, we'll start in verse 1 there. It says, then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the king of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. And then he repeats what Joshua was told there. Moses admitted to the people, the Lord won't let me go over there. And there was a reason why the Lord wouldn't let him go over there, and was Moses complaining about it? You won't read that Moses complained about the fact that he wasn't allowed to go over into the promised land. He had sinned against God, and he admitted it, and he was a man meekly following the Lord. He did not allow any of those things to cause him to turn against his God. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We come up with another man in the Old Testament that also had this meekness about him. This man had a real desire, but we'll talk about the desire in just a second. But let's go to verse 10, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the glory and the power and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And if you wanted to follow on there, he goes on to say, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" You know what the setting is here? You know what God had told David? I mean, even David's faithful prophet Nathan had agreed with David that David could build the temple for God. And then God said, "No, wait a minute. David's not the one that's going to build the temple." And now David knows that well in this particular passage of Scripture. He understands that he's not. You can read it if you wanted to read before this. He understands he's not the one that's going to be building the temple. And yet, as you listen to him and him praising the Lord, you wouldn't have the slightest idea there from that, what we just read, that David had been told, "No, you can't build the temple. It'll be your son that builds the temple." Well, David had it in his heart to build the temple. He loved the Lord. He wanted to build the temple. But he was a meek follower of God. And it took courage for David to back off, say, "God, this is your business and what you want done. I will support with everything I've got." And that's what David was doing. He says, "Who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" And David, out of his own treasury, took his wealth to help finance the building of this temple. And he led out in such a great way that the people did the same. They got behind it. But here was a man that was meekly following God. He wasn't out here trying to build his own reputation, how great he was. He was concerned of serving his God however God wanted him to serve him. And so that's the idea of what we're talking about here, that temper of spirit in which we accept God's dealings with us as good, and therefore we're not going to dispute it. We're not going to complain about it. We're not going to be down about it. In fact, if you continue to check this out, go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That's enough right there to sober you up real quick. When you realize you've been born into a body of Jesus Christ where the way you behave is going to have a good effect on the body or a detrimental effect on the body. That's a pretty sobering thought right there. You know, I can't be me anymore just going along with however I feel. I've got to make sure I'm going to be what I am supposed to be for your sake as well as mine. Bible goes on to say there, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Do you see? We all have a part in the great body of Christ, don't we? And we don't all do the same thing. And we don't have to. If we will meekly follow our Lord, the Lord will end up and have us where he wants us to be, and we can be serving the Lord with all of our heart all the way through life's journey as the Lord leads us. Thank God that we can serve him and stay dead doing it. And last of all here this morning, for just a second, the last part of that definition is where we're willing to face men, even evil men, out of a sense that these, with the insults and injuries which they may inflict, are permitted and employed by him for the chastening and purifying of his elect. And so the meekness involves me being willing to be persecuted by man or insulted by man, and I'm going to keep right on following my Lord. That's the idea of that. 1 Peter chapter 1, by the way, verses 3 through 9 is really good on that. And I guess we got about a minute, so we'll take it. Go over there to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is another one of those great scriptures in the Bible. Verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The sufferings, the trials that come upon us, many of us, you know, if we're going to hurt physically, we like to pop the aspirin or the ibuprofen or whatever and get out of pain. And many times when it comes to suffering for the Lord, if we've got too much of me left alive, guess what we're doing? We're dodging around the suffering. We're going to duck around it. We don't want any part of it. And that's not meekly following our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord has a work for us to do. He has it all figured out. He knows his business. We are to follow him, and we are to love him through every bit of it. You might say, well, but I'd like to be like this person. Forget that. That's you coming alive again, isn't it? You worry about being you and what God has put in front of you to do, and you do your very best following the Lord. You keep yourself meek and humble. We're to be like a little child as we follow the Lord. We're not to be out here trying to get our own way and do our own thing. All right?